are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
The modern left has grown tired of debate. Their new strategy is simply to try to silence their critics.
When the local evangelical pastor gets up and ends his prayer with a reference to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, that moment in the parade of pluralism is offensive.
Sin essentially is high treason against the king, against the sovereign.
Your sins are forgiven. Though you're a rotten, damned sinner of the law, Jesus came for such sinners. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus comes only for sinners. Jesus dwells in sinners. Jesus is for you. You're forgiven.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
This is a very difficult thing to do. It's a preacher's dilemma sometimes. He's faced, like preachers were this last Sunday, with, it's not so much a choice. It's a dilemma. What do you do when it's pretty obvious that a lot of the people who are in church on Sunday morning on Mother's Day are there because it's Mother's Day? It's kids who haven't darkened the door of the church in a long time, but mom is there, a grandmother is there, and so they are too. It's about keeping mom happy, or an especially full church, and the flowers are in abundance, and everyone's looking forward to the afternoon where they'll sit down and they will hail Mother. A lot of times preachers make bad choices at that time. They decide to talk about mothers and extol the virtues of the mothers in the room. And they're made out to be, well, everybody knows what your mother's really like, but they're made out to be sinless saints on Mother's Day. Other pastors ignore it entirely, which is, well, I don't know if that's a good choice either, because a lot of the reason the people there in the church is because it's Mother's Day. If the pastor fails to even acknowledge it, they're going to say, is this pastor not paying attention? Do they not know why I'm here? Well, what does the pastor do? It's not about threading the needle. It's about doing what the pastor is called to do, and that is preach Christ for sinners without ignoring the fact that some people, it's not about expectations either, without ignoring the fact that some people there also need to hear something about their mother, maybe their real mother, maybe the real source of life that they may not acknowledge, not the lady sitting next to them or the grandma sitting down the pew. Where does their life come from? We're going to be reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor David Peterson that I think answers the dilemma of the pastor in the pulpit on Mother's Day. Pastor David Peterson is a regular guest, and he's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. A sermon on John 16, Sorrow, Joy, and Motherhood, here in the first 20 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back on this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of May. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. We're going to continue our series with him on Christ in the Old Testament today, several places. Jesus is the stone of stumbling in Isaiah chapter 8. He's the cornerstone in Isaiah chapter 28. And both of these are brought together in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll see what he does with that in the last 40 minutes of Issues Etc. Now, whenever we do a sermon review, we have two things that need to be said. First of all, what is the preacher's basic task? And that, I think, is given us by St. Paul. St. Paul, who knew all sorts of holidays and holy days and observation, said, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That doesn't mean that's all he ever said was Christ and him crucified, Christ and him crucified, but that he understood that the whole Bible testified to Christ and him crucified, and that every occasion is an occasion to preach Christ and him crucified, even Mother's Day. So Jesus tells us how to read the Bible. You search the scriptures in Luke chapter 24 because therein you find eternal life. Now, you can also find a lot of things about women and motherhood in there. But what is the purpose of all of that? He says, these are the scriptures that testify of me. So the preacher's basic task is to testify to the crucified and risen Christ for sinners. Now, our diagnostic is simple. It has three parts. First of all, how often is Jesus mentioned? When you listen to the sermon, just keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. Now, he might not be mentioned at all. That makes your job pretty easy, but it's a very sad state of affairs. But he might be mentioned just a few times. Now, if Jesus is mentioned many times, which he should be because Christ-centered sermons ought to be about Christ, then go on to the second part of the diagnostic. If he's often mentioned, then is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Now, that sounds like a grammatical question, and it is, because it answers something very important. Is the preacher talking about you and only mentioning Jesus on the side, or is the preacher preaching Christ? The preacher can preach the Christian and occasionally mention Jesus, or he can preach the Christ. And when he's preaching the Christ, Jesus will be the subject of the verbs. Now, that answers two big questions about what you ought to be listening for in a good Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. But there's one other question. It's a detail, and that is part three. What are those verbs of which Jesus is the subject? Now, is your preacher preaching the Jesus who's your life coach, who helps you, who gives you good advice, who sets a beautiful example for your life, who's there to encourage you or cheer for you or root for you? Or is the preacher preaching the Jesus of Scripture? And the verbs that apply to him are laying down his life for you, perfect obedience for you, suffering for you, bleeding for you, dying for you, rising again for you. Two very different set of verbs. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what, by the way, are those verbs? With that in mind, we launch into our sermon review of a sermon preached Sunday, Mother's Day, by Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on John chapter 16, beginning at the 16th verse, on sorrow, joy, and motherhood.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The most painful labor in the history of childbirth was that which preceded the birth of the Christian church. No one, not even Eve herself, has borne the curse from the garden more fully than our Lord upon the cross. To say that he there had sorrows is to show the shallowness of our own sorrows and discontent. Because all of our sorrows are caused by sin. And to some degree, though don't make too much of this, to some degree we deserve what hurts us. We've never been beaten unjustly, in a sense. But the Lord Jesus Christ was beaten unjustly, and it is a gracious thing. He did not deserve the sorrows that caused his sweat to fall like blood. And yet, though innocent, he bore the full brunt of his Father's wrath and all of hell's fury. And yet, as terrible as that sorrow was, that sorrow also turned to joy. On Easter evening, the risen Lord came into the upper room in joy. He was filled with joy. They were not. They were afraid, and they were self-centered. He was filled with joy because they were alive. He was not filled with joy because he was risen from the dead, not because he was alive. He was filled with joy because they were alive, and he no longer remembered the anguish of the cross. Who is happy at the end of childbirth? Not the child. The child's not happy at all. He's mad. He's scared. He's confused. That is why he wails. But the mother is happy, is filled with joy. And it is not just that the pain has subsided and the worst of the ordeal is over. She is happy because a child has been born into the world. Now, it could be that in a few weeks, that same child's cries will become a burden, a harbinger of weariness and exhaustion for the mother. But that is not the case with that first cry. That first cry, no matter how angry it is, how selfish it might be, or how tired the mother is, that first cry fills the mother with joy. because the child is alive. And what does that mother then desire more than anything else in the world to do? To comfort the child. She wants to calm and soothe him. She wants to hold him and whisper her love to him and sing lullabies. That is the joy of mothering. And it is with that joy that the Lord comes into the upper room on Easter evening. They are gathered in confusion and fear. They wail like selfish children, unaware of what the Lord has done, what he has suffered, thinking only of themselves. But the Lord comes in joy. He comes in joy because they are alive. They have been saved. Their cries and complaints are those of children. They cry without understanding. And in mercy, he comes seeking to comfort and soothe them. He whispers the Holy Spirit to them and sings the lullaby, "Peace be unto you." He forgives their sins and he welcomes them, a new addition to his holy family. Billy Collins wrote a poem entitled "The Lanyard" that's quite fitting on Mother's Day. In it, the poet describes running across the word lanyard in a dictionary as an adult and suddenly being transported back, remembering how he had crafted a lanyard for his mother when he was a child away at camp. After introducing the story and what had happened, he writes, "I had never seen a lanyard or wear one, if that's what you did with them. But that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother." And then he begins to think about what this gift meant. He writes, "She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim. And I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals," she said, "and here is clothing and a good education. And here is your lanyard," I replied, "which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bone and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world," she whispered. "And here," I said, "is the lanyard I made at camp."
We'll pause here. He's in the middle of a poem that illustrates the point. This young man, overcome with the depth of his ingratitude to his mother. This is a very clever thing that Pastor Peterson is doing here in this Mother's Day sermon. I think he's setting a little trap, if you will. When we come back, we'll continue our review of a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor David Peterson, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on John chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, sorrow, joy, and motherhood. Stay tuned.
How he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education, July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest, people who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, May the 15th, we are reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor David Peterson, regular guest here on the program, on sorrow, joy, and motherhood on the occasion of Mother's Day. Of course, mothers get mentioned. Mothers are the occasion. This is what you would call an occasional sermon. But the preacher's task is still to preach Christ and Him crucified for the comfort of sinners. Remember, our diagnostic, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is He the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? After we conclude our sermon review, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us for our series on Christ in the Old Testament. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah 28, and 1 Peter 2, talking about Jesus as a stone, in one case of stumbling, and in the other case, a foundation stone, a cornerstone. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes on Issues, Etc. He's in the middle of reading a poem that is illustrative of the kind of, what shall we call it, child's guilt that we often feel toward our mothers, the ingratitude that we have shown our mothers in the course of our lives and all that they have given us, how feeble our gifts in return for all of that are. But he's headed someplace, and he's got one more stanza of the poem.
Finally, Collins gets to his point. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift. Not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. The strange thing that Collins hints at in this rueful admission is not simply the arrogance of the boy who thought that a worthless lanyard woven out of boredom would make him even with his mother. But what he hints at, and what we all know to be true, is that the mother was glad to have the lanyard, that she rejoiced in it and loved it, that she had no sense or was at all concerned with being even. But because she loved him, she loved his gifts. And you thought you did not like poetry. And that poem didn't even rhyme. And I bet it caught you by surprise. What is true of mothers and mothering is even more true of the Lord. He does not seek to be even with you or for you to pay him back for what he has done. And yet the gifts that you bring, the praise that you sing, he joyfully receives and he even loves. He loves your tithes. He loves your prayers. He loves your small gestures of the faith, though they be as insignificant as a worthless lanyard or even thoughtless, does not matter to him. For he bore your sorrows willfully, even gladly, in order that you would live, that you would be a part of his family. That Sunday evening in Jerusalem, the disciples were calmed in their fear. Like infants content at their mother's breasts, the disciples received the word of the Lord and the breaking of the bread as their only need and nourishment. There was nothing else, no one else. They cared for nothing. They did not even mourn at the time for missing Thomas, because their sorrow was turned into joy, and in Christ they were content. But there were more little wiles to be endured. And like infants, they needed constant attention. They grew scared and confused again. They did mourn, and they did sin, even against each other. And so the Lord comforted them anew, again and again, as many times as they needed it, plus a few more, for our cup runneth over. The Lord is glad to do what mothers do, to soothe and calm and forgive. For the Lord is love and mercy and grace. He paid the price of your redemption without a second thought or regret, not that he would live, but that you would live. And thus does the Lord look upon you with the same tender mercy and compassion that he had for the apostles. He does not grow weary or faint. He is not ashamed of you or angry at you. He does not hold your gifts to be insignificant, but he loves them. And he does not hold the cost of your redemption, even of your complaints and crying and backsliding, against you. He is better at mothering than any earthly mother. And though it cost him such a terrible price, though it was sorrow and labor unlike anyone else has ever known, he remains joyful at your life, patient and gentle, eager to feed and to comfort you. Like the apostles before you, you have sorrow now. But the while of little while is winding down, and soon your hearts will rejoice with the same joy that our Lord Jesus Christ knows in the upper room. For you will be one with your Father in heaven, in will, in desire, and in joy. And no one will take it from you. In Jesus' name.
All right, see, it can be done. Well, it can be done in two senses. One, it can be done that even on the occasion of a Mother's Day, mother doesn't have to stand in for Jesus. Mother doesn't get extolled more than Jesus. The virtues of mother don't outshine the virtues of our Savior. So a Mother's Day sermon can be preached with Christ at its center. There's an example. But also, in a broader sense, it can be done, and it ought to be done every Sunday. Expect nothing less of your preacher every sermon, every Sunday, regardless of the occasion, that he give you Jesus Christ crucified for you, a sinner, that he give you that comfort that comes only from his life laid down at the cross and his life taken up again in his resurrection. When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
The Christian is the dutiful, bound servant of all under the law, but under the gospel, he is Lord of all and under nobody's control or thumb.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And frankly, being Lord of all in the gospel and yet under love, servant of all, is the best way to live.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.